This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 255 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, December 7th, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, if it seems like I'm a little under the weather, it is because I am. Just recently came back from WordCamp US, where there was about 2,000 people, and something was going around, and whatever it is, I got it.
Yeah. Yeah, you always get that at WordCamps. I don't know what your deal is. Your immunity system needs to – it's that working at home thing. I get that too. You know, you get out, you get amongst the people, and all of a sudden you're shaking hands and taking selfies and having everybody breathe on you. And before long, you get symptoms like what you've got. So I wish you a speedy recovery, my friend.
Yeah, so it's been a while, man. Great to talk to you. How things going in your life?
Pretty good. I got to just say goodbye to one of my old former clients. That was a huge problem, which is a good relief. And the night gig is working out very well. So far, so good.
Awesome. So as I said, first of all, I want to let everybody know, we'll talk more about this next week's episode, but WordPress 4.7 was released yesterday. This release has all kinds of goodies in it, the REST API content endpoints, which many developers are very happy about, the 2017 default theme, which looks awesome in mobile view. Mel Choice did a wonderful job designing that theme. And there's all kinds of other enhancements as well, especially to the customizer, which, believe it or not, is the focus of today's show. And WordCamp US was a great time. Had a chance to learn more about the customizer. There was Matt Mulloway's State of the Word. The venue was awesome. The people were awesome. The sponsors area was cool because that was a happening sponsor area. There were people there all day long. Like I said, close to 2,000 people, but the Pennsylvania Convention Center is so large that even with 2,000 people, the convention center still seemed large. I mean, I think we could have had the WordCamp just in one of the hallways. That's how big the convention center was. But the event ran smoothly. I had a great time. Spent most of my time in the hallway track. Of course, as these WordCamps go, there were some people I would have loved to meet for the first time, didn't get a chance to, didn't even see them as walking around, passing by. But overall, just a great event. We'll talk more about that coming up next week. Speaking of the State of the Word, there were some things mentioned. Actually, Marcus, you watched the live stream of the event. How was it?
It was very good. What was seemed to be an addition this year was live captioning as Matt was giving the State of the Word, which was very interesting. Kudos for that. But it was pretty well received. I will say, though, you really couldn't hear any crowd reaction at all. It was just crickets the whole stream. It just didn't seem like maybe the microphone was isolated from picking up any crowd noise or anything like that. But it felt like he was giving the speech in front of 20 people. It didn't seem like there was a huge crowd. How big was that room?
The room was packed. The line, really? I mean, that room, there wasn't an empty seat in that room. And now you mentioned that, and I do remember some people asking via the live stream, it sounds like nobody's reacting in the room. Is it true? And outside of a couple of moments where people clapped because of certain things that were said, that was about the only reaction. There wasn't jubilee or wasn't a lot of reaction outside of just clapping for a few moments. And, I'd have to go back and watch the 2015 State of the Word, but maybe you're right. Maybe the audience was a bit more subdued this time around, which is odd because there were a lot of exciting announcements made by Matt Mulloway concerning the release schedule for next year. It's thrown completely on top of its head. We're not going to have three planned releases next year. We're just going to have three focuses. And whenever they get to a point where they can ship, he's going to ship them. And there's all kinds of cool things like that. And I'm not sure why it appeared to be crickets in the room, but I guess that's just the way it was.
Yeah, and I thought some of the audience questions were a little weird too. Like why do they call you Photo Matt, and what's the outlook for a WordPress entrepreneur, and just some weird kind of questions that it seemed like they should be geared more towards the release or the future of WordPress or where we're going, and it just seemed a little askew.
Well, don't know what happened there. But by the way, if anybody missed the State of the Word, it is now available on WordPress.tv, so go check that out. Give it a watch, and let us know what you think. So one of the focuses that Matt talked about that are going to have more eyes on next year is the customizer. And there's been a lot of talk within the last couple years, actually, around this feature called the customizer. Started off as the theme customizer, and it's evolved to be able to provide live previews for many different things. And I thought it would be great to have two of the main component maintainers on the show to talk to us about the history of this feature in WordPress and perhaps the future and what the plans are for it. And here to join us, at least, is one of the component maintainers, Weston Reuter. And Weston, man, thanks a lot for joining us on the program today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
So we're supposed to have Nick Halsey on the show, but I believe he's having some connection issues. So hopefully we can get him to join in later on. Hopefully the pressure's not too much on you, Weston.
Well, I do also have the cold that you picked up. So if I'm sounding about a little off, then that's why.
So it's okay. The extra bass is good for podcasting.
Good enough.
So let's start off in the beginning. Before we get into the customizer, why don't you inform our audience how you got involved with WordPress?
Yeah, it's been over 10 years since I started.
Wow.
It's probably 12 years that I've been developing with WordPress. And I started out in a computer science program, didn't do WordPress from the beginning, but as I was, rolling my own CMS over and over again, I encountered WordPress, and I really liked the tools that it provided out of the box and how I could quickly get new sites set up for clients using WordPress. And in spite of the warts that WordPress has from a computer science perspective, there's a lot of opportunities to improve it. And that's why one of the reasons why I contribute is because it's not yet perfect. And so a lot of things like customizer, I think, hold so much promise for users that I'm excited to contribute and make it better for now over a quarter of the web.
Have you, in your experience, have you come across software you deem perfect? Is there such a thing as perfect software?
I think it can be perfect for a very short time.
Yeah.
As soon as it's first designed, and then it gets warts, and it has some backwards compatibility issues and things that are design decisions that the developers regret. And so, yeah, I think the idea of a perfect piece of software is not realistic. And so ultimately, it's always a work in progress.
Yeah, there's always one more thing to add or fix or change. That's the nature of software development. Mm-hmm. So the customizer, it's this cool feature in WordPress that allows people to live preview changes on the site, and it's gone through a lot of evolutions. But take us back to when the feature was initially created and committed to WordPress Core, which at the time it was just for themes. It was called Theme Customizer. Give us some history on how it came to be, on how it was developed for WordPress.
Yeah, I wasn't involved in the initial development of it. I think it was Daryl Cooper Smith and Dominic Schilling and others who were the initial developers of it.
Okay.
But it was initially developed as a way to preview changes to appearance settings on your site. And so things like the header text color, the background color, header image, background image, and then assigning menu locations and setting the static front page and things like that. So mostly basic appearance settings that you would normally set up when you first set up your site. And after that initial setup, most users who have an established site wouldn't necessarily need to go into the customizer on a daily basis.
Yeah, so if we look back at what it was like, you know, we'd install a theme and then you'd edit it maybe one change at a time, save a change and see what it looks like in a preview pane. You do the same thing with widgets and other things like that. The customizer really provided a way to make these changes, and then once you're happy with the results, click the save button, and you didn't have to do things one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some support for previewing your header and background image on those admin pages, but the ability to truly preview how it actually looked on your site was limited because the preview was kind of a mock and not actually displaying how it would appear on your site. And so a lot of those changes, yeah, in the admin, you would make a change and then you'd have to quickly go to the front end to see if it looked okay. If it didn't look okay, to go back to the admin, make the change again, and then back and forth. And if you have a site that's getting a lot of traffic, then those changes are live for all the viewers, all the visitors to your site, and they're seeing something that you don't want them to see. And so not only is in the WP admin, the inability to preview those changes, but also the inability to bundle those changes together into a single transactional atomic save. And so those are a couple of the main reasons why a customizer is a powerful platform in WordPress.
And maybe another way to put it is, as you describe it, it's like bringing the staging environment into your production environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do things on production that normally you would first have to try out on staging. But the customizer, the design of the customizer is that anything you do in the customizer stays in the customizer until you hit that save and publish button. And so it gives a lot of reassurance to users who maybe don't know what a lot of the different settings are in WordPress. They can go in and experiment and play around, and they can feel safe that they're not going to be destroying their site because their changes don't go live until they hit save and publish. And also they can preview all those changes in the preview pane.
Have there ever been plans to create maybe versioning or a save or import or export in terms of the customizer so that I can maybe experiment, as you say, with the one version and then maybe a second version, but not have to lose those changes that I made the first time?
Yeah, actually in 4.7 with change sets, that is actually part of this release. It's kind of an Easter egg. There isn't a UI for it. But if you open a customizer in a new tab and you start making changes, you'll notice the URL in your browser. As soon as you make a change and you click around, and you'll see the URL update with something like change set underscore UUID, and then this long string of random UUID. And so then you can take that URL, you can bookmark it, you can share it with someone else, you can come back to it tomorrow. And so you can have this, and by default that stays around for a week, but the intention is to extend that to introduce a full editorial workflow for those customizer changes. So you could actually explicitly save a draft that would stay in existence until you don't want it anymore, or submit customizer changes as pending and then have someone who has, permission to authorize those changes, also to schedule those changes. Those are all part of this infrastructure that change sets isn't as part of for 4.7.
Great. I've been asking for that forever. It's great to know that that's on track in terms of being able to be used now, and that there may be a UI for it down the road.
And the customized snapshots feature plugin is where a lot of this, the infrastructure for change sets was developed, and those UI features are part of the snapshots plugin. So there's an ability to save as draft and submit as pending and scheduling. And there's also a admin screen, so you can see all the change sets that have been drafted, and you can then inspect the contents of a snapshot, a change set. And
is there any portability? Is there portability with that? Can I export a file or an XML or something like that I can then use on a different site?
That is a goal for this. being able to import and export change sets is definitely, there's a ticket open for this in Track, but just need to make sure that, and it's very similar to what we have for starter content also in 4.7, where in 2017, if you open up your site and you go click the big blue customize your site button in the dashboard, you're going to see not the sample page that you would always see when you start a new site. You're going to see content tailored for 2017, including an about page and a contact us page and other pages, including widgets with like the business address and things that you would expect when you were setting up a theme for a business. And that infrastructure is built on top of the starter content feature, is built on top of change sets, and it takes those changes and drafts a new change set on top of the existing settings for a site. So for being able to import and export those changes is building on that idea. And in the next release, we're hoping to be able to import those starter content settings for an existing site, because right now it's very much only for a fresh install, and that starter content can't be loaded up if you have existing content on your site. Otherwise it would override what you already have. So in the next release, we're looking to add a UI for not only being able to select between multiple sets of starter content if you have different verticals that you're wanting to target, but also to be able to selectively decide, yes, I want this about page. No, I don't want this sidebar widget area to override what I already have, and so on. And that kind of, that conflict resolution between the change set and what you already have on your site will go hand in hand with being able to import and export settings across sites.
Great.
So you helped us out. I mean, 4.7 has a lot of cool features related to the customizer, but before we get to those, you created this cool timeline, and it was neat to see just all of the work that's gone into the customizer and since as far back as WordPress around 3.8, 3.9. So WordPress 3.9 added widget management to the customizer. WordPress 4.0 added panels, custom HTML5 controls, contextual controls. And then in 4.1, we have JavaScript API, JavaScript templated controls, new media controls, 4.3 menu management, and the you're able to customize your site icon. And then in WordPress 4.5, we have selective refresh, device preview, so you can see how your the site will look on various tablets. And there's the custom logo. And in 4.6, we have the validation model and control notifications. And then in 4.7, which was released yesterday, we have starter content, video headers, custom CSS, edit shortcuts, and change sets with drafted pages. So that's just in a nutshell what's gone on with the customizer. In fact, there's more to come, but wow, you know, it says you guys just it's like nonstop.
Yeah. And one of the major things that we've been working on that isn't part of this is the Customize Posts plugin, which allows you to manage posts and pages in the customizer, just like you would do for widgets or map menus. And that paired with the starter content in 2017 is really powerful, because if you, in 2017, you get the starter content with these default pages and posts created for you, but you can't actually modify the titles or text or featured images for any of these starter content. You have to save and publish and then go back to the WP admin, then modify. But if you have this feature plugin installed, you can modify the content. It opens a tiny MCE editor in the bottom half of the screen, and you can set the featured image, you can change the page template, and you can do all these things all with the live preview and nothing impacting the site until you hit save and publish.
So that's interesting, because at one point there was a feature plugin to create a front-end editor to provide front-end editing into WordPress, and it never quite materialized. I know there were certain features or items from that plugin development that ended up in core, but something I want to see and something I know a lot of other people want to see is a good front-end editor in WordPress, and it sounds like at least with that feature plugin that you created, you would be able to edit content from the front end via the customizer.
Yeah, a lot of the customized post plugin and front end editor, they are addressing the same problem space naturally. And one of the problems with the customizer for editing posts and pages is the lack of being able to do it inline. So front-end editors is really, I think, provided a great example and model to follow for how to implement front-end editing. But the customizer is more specifically focused on the infrastructure and how to preview those changes, how to save those changes, bundle them together in a change set, and then to make those changes go live together. And one of the great thing about customizer and change sets is you can say, if you're editing a post on the homepage, or you're editing the post on the single template, you modify the content and the excerpt, and then you want to see how that post appears on a category index page or the homepage. Well, you can do that. You just navigate to the category page, you navigate to the homepage, and then you can see those same modifications, how they look in those different locations. And I think that's a unique aspect of what the customizer allows, is your customized state can follow you around as you navigate around the site, which I think is not something that was previously possible.
Hey, I noticed that Nick Halsey's joined the show. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, I mean, we're just kind of in the nitty gritty here about the history and the evolution of the customizer. But do you have any thoughts in terms of the customizer as what we were just alluding to, and sort of this using the customizer as a merge between front end and back end in terms of content editing?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting ways that it could go. And actually, with the front end editor plugin, we had sort of talked between the teams working on that and the customizer, I think like 2.5 years ago now, about sort of long term bringing those two things together somehow. Mm-hmm. And so I think now we've really gotten the infrastructure built up on the customizer API side where things like that are going to be more possible moving forward.
So right. In the Matt State of the Word last year, he said, learn JavaScript deeply. He gave everyone a homework assignment. And Weston, I know that you've been saying, and you still say that the customizer would be a great way to learn JavaScript deeply, because I believe it's a JavaScript application, so to speak, if you want to clarify.
Yeah, the customizer is the first single page application
there we in go. WordPress. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. And I think Matt even referred to that in his talk. That's the word. And so the customizer provides a great way to learn JavaScript. Maybe it's not as cutting edge as, say, Calypso, but it definitely has all the marks of a well-architected JavaScript application, where it's all separated out logic from data, and a lot of the key benefits that React and Redux have for Calypso are, the ideas are there already in the customizer. And so I think there's a lot of opportunities for learning how to use JavaScript effectively in the context of customizer, and be able to have those changes, you know, deployed out to millions of sites through new plugins that plugin authors develop.
Yeah, and I think the other thing with that is that, you know, the customizer JavaScript API has been built in a way that everything is very extensible. And so, you know, you can use the customizer as a developer without getting into JavaScript, but once you get into that is when you really unlock its full potential to do things in a really fast way for users. I think menus in core are a good example of that, and a lot of the core functionality in the JavaScript API was sort of built when we looked at adding menus to the customizer in core.
So now that the REST API content endpoints are in WordPress 4.7 and the infrastructure part of it was added in the earlier release of WordPress, what sort of opportunities does that open up in terms of the REST API being in WordPress for use cases of things that could be built with the customizer? Is there any relationship, any cool things that we might be able to see in the future because of the REST API?
Yeah, I think that the, like, for example, the customized posts feature plugin, at the moment it's using admin Ajax to get all the post content to then populate into the customizer. But it can instead use the REST API instead to reuse that existing infrastructure. Also, as a 4.7, actually, if you have in your site, if you have REST API calls in JavaScript to fetch content for your site, the customized state will automatically be included in those requests. So if you, and previously in 4.6, those AJAX requests out to your site, they would be like, they was on your front end, there would be no, it would not be aware of that you were inside of a customizer session. So now if you've made changes to content on your site through the customizer, the REST API calls, as they respond back, they'll have those changes applied to the response. And so, and that also goes for app development as well. Anything that's using the REST API, as long as that change set UUID is included in the request, then the response back will have the customizer changes applied to that. And then you can preview how REST API, how those changes would impact REST API responses.
And any thoughts on that, Nick?
Yeah, I think, so in general, Weston's kind of more on the technical backend side of things, and I'm more focused on the user side.
I totally couldn't tell Weston was on the technical side.
So yeah, so I know though it's going to be really important moving forward in terms of the way everything's structured and with change sets that opens up a lot of new possibilities, both for sort of extending the REST API for customizer functionality and then also making it possible to use the API in conjunction with the customize API to live preview things.
Yeah, two things that I'm interested in for this next release. Well, is the adding an endpoint for change sets in core so that you can create a customizer change set via just regular REST API calls, not have to load any of the existing JavaScript that is currently used to develop in the customizer. And so that'll open opportunities for apps to more easily create a change set to preview changes. But then also in terms of what the content endpoints give us today, I'm looking forward to doing something that was initially prototyped as part of 4.7, but wasn't completed. And that is the ability to preview post and page revisions. So when you're in the post and page revision browser, when you go back to a previous version of that page, in addition to seeing that diff view, which isn't often very helpful, to also have a button that then says preview on front end, and then to take you to the front end with a change set that was created with that state in the change set. So then you can see how that post actually looks on your front end without impacting your site. And also maybe integrate into the admin bar so that you can have like a time machine view where you can click back and forward through time and see with selective refresh, just those title changes, content changes, and easily see the history of a post from the front end.
That sounds like a neat application. So Matt Mullewag, at least throughout this year, throughout last year, he said this numerous times. The customizer, in his eyes, is a very important part of WordPress's future. It's going to help us. Customization is one of the biggest growth areas, opportunities for WordPress. And in the state of the word, the customizer is actually one of the three main focuses that people are going to be working on next year. And just wanted to get your thoughts. Maybe we'll start with you, Nick, on seeing that there's going to be such more of a focus now on the customizer. So that means more eyes, more help. And I know in recent years, that's one of the things you guys have, or the contributors working on the customizer have been wanting more of, is help.
Yeah, well, we in 4.7, we had over 60 contributors just to the customizer. And so that's, I think we had like 20 something to 4.6. So we're already seeing
that's a major increase.
A lot more. yeah, way more there, which is awesome to see. And it's good to see that continue to improve. One of the big things is that I think we should start thinking of it a little bit more broadly and in terms of live preview as opposed to just the customizer. Mm-hmm. The customize API is presumably what will sort of be the basis for this moving forward, and the UI may or may not be similar to or the same as what it is now, or it could change completely. But you know, the term customizer is very much rooted in theme-based customizations, changes, smaller tweaks, and as we integrate things like post editing and a sort of broader view of being able to manage your site with live preview, I think taking a sort of a step back and thinking about it as live preview and really the goal of being able to see all your changes live as you make them on the front end, and really shifting the whole concept of managing sites on its head, where you're focused on the front end as opposed to managing everything from the admin. I think that's really going to be the biggest area for us to continue moving in as we focus on that.
Yeah, and this sort of, Weston, this sort of harkens back to a tweet by Helen Husandi, who led the release of WordPress 4.7, where she says, what if instead of opposing shoving more stuff into the customizer, we supported adding live previews to WordPress functionality? Your thoughts on her tweet?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, and I often cite it to anyone who complains about customizer.
Well, there's no shortage of those people, let me tell you.
Yeah, but I think that, yeah, it's generally agreed, I think universally, that the current customize.php app, that what people experience as today as the customizer, definitely needs to be
What was that?
Iterated on.
It sounded like a plane flying right over Nick's head.
Sorry, right by the street here.
Definitely customize.php as an app needs to be iterated on, and the UX needs to be revisited. And in the direction I think it should go is that customize.php and the admin, there shouldn't be a distinction between the two. You should be, if you're in the admin, you should be able to live proof any change you make to your site, whether that be to post content, whether that be to settings, widgets, menus. You should be able to do that, enter into that live preview experience from the admin in a new iteration on the admin. And in the same way, also on the front end, there shouldn't be a distinction between viewing the front end and being able to make changes in a visual way on the front end. So I think there needs to be a lot more. This middle ground, this customize.php, basically needs to go away, and there needs to be more seamless integration between the WP admin and the front end to be able to make changes in the way that you want.
You know, when I hear you say these words, I'm screaming hallelujah, because for so many years I said, you know, I've always thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool if somehow we could merge the front end with the back end, because I don't want to load the entire back end to make a typo change. It would be nice if so many of these front end elements, if somehow we can create a unifying interface that can merge back end with the front end. And it sounds like at least what you're describing is sort of the customizer is allowing us to go in that direction, or that's a one possible direction.
Yeah, I would say. I would say the customizer is actually pretty close to the front end. It is in between, but if you think about it, it's more on the front end side, but it still is in the middle, largely because of the way it's loaded right now. And, you know, it's at customize.php. So I think the first step will sort of being bringing that all the way into the front end and starting to introduce things like inline editing. And especially once, you know, content editing is possible within that framework, having something that's more front end based, and then over time continue bringing things in that are sort of in the admin. And eventually, you know, if we can get to where we don't have a separate admin from the front end based thing, that would be great. I do think though that for a while, at least, we'll still have sort of something like an admin where you do things like managing plugins, say, there's multi-site type stuff where the front end of the site really doesn't matter that much with respect to what you're managing. Mm-hmm. Those aspects, longer term, it would be nice to see it all unified. but at least initially absolutely getting everything into a front-end context with that preview while you're managing it is, I think, the most important thing for usability for us to look at.
So I know, Weston, we were talking a little bit before the show, but as it stands now, when I click on the customized link from the admin bar, I have to wait for this back end to load. There's this new page that loads. The customized panel opens up. Are you saying that there's a possibility to where I could just, you know, I think it'd be really nice if you just click customize and boom, there's the panel. You can start editing right away. I mean, that in itself would be a huge improvement over what we have now.
Absolutely. I think that when you click customize, first of all, if you're logged in and you're an editor, you're someone who can make changes, then the customizer functionality for previewing changes can be auto-loaded or lazy-loaded for any user who's logged in on the front end. And then clicking customize can then just load up the customizer controls and allow you to start basically enter into an edit mode where as soon as you click customize, then all the edit shortcuts can appear and you can do also some inline editing and yeah, to make it much faster to start making changes without having to enter into a different application.
So Matt Mulloway believes in the customizer. A number of members of the WordPress core team believe in the customizer, but there's every time we write about it on the Tavern, it's you could do something else in the customizer. We get this enormous amount of blowback, usually from the same group of people, but you know, you two are along with other contributors are paving the way forward with the customizer, but you know, this is addressed to Nick. How difficult is it for you to put all this time and effort and energy into something that generally, at least by some portion of the audience, just there's so much friction against it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, and especially because all of my contributing to WordPress is done on a volunteer basis, and I don't even know, but I don't even work in the industry, and I'm not, you know, going into web development as my primary career. But the thing is, I approach everything that I do with contributing from the perspective of an end user, because ultimately that's why I contribute. I want the software to be better for the way I use it and the way I think a lot of other people use it. And as a user, I can see the benefits of having this functionality, and especially of having live preview with something that's, you know, you're creating a website, it's a digital product. And so we don't have any physical constraints to being able to show you a preview of what it's going to look like before you actually push that live. A lot of the other areas that I do work in, there's really no way to see your end product before it's actually done. And so I really see that live preview being something that a lot of users and something that, you know, we're working to bring to more and more functionality. I do also see, you know, a lot of people understand the direction we're going and also don't really understand what we mean when we're talking about the API and trying to make it easy for developers to extend it. It really isn't about just shoving things into the customizer, the interface. It's really bringing this functionality to more features. And in a lot of cases, showing that you don't need that much UI actually to make changes for a lot of things. And so that's where, you know, sort of from that user perspective, even if people are complaining about things or, you know, disagreeing with the direction we're going, I think ultimately they'll realize that for end users, this is the best solution moving forward. And it's, you know, it's not about the current interface. It's really about having that functionality of live preview and then however that might look, being able to live preview any change to your site.
And I'll also pass that question on to you, Weston. I know we talked about it briefly at WordCamp US, but you know, there's so much blowback and friction from a subset of the community about the customizer and continuously adding things to it and being able to live preview things. What's it like to put so much time and energy on a part of the project that people believe in, but a lot of others don't? I mean, it's got to be hard.
Yeah, it can be discouraging to have so much pushback, but it ultimately we use Customizer extensively for our clients, and our clients, especially these enterprise clients, they demand having the ability to preview changes that are impacting their millions of visitors a day. It's just not acceptable for an enterprise grade CMS to have the, you know, not to have the ability to preview these changes that are going to impact their visitors. So it's the framework that WordPress provides for previewing and staging those changes. And so it is really, you know, there's no other option in WordPress itself. And I think it's a great option and it needs a lot of work still, but if we can get past the, you know, these early years of customizer and build upon it, I think it'll be a great centerpiece of the admin experience for WordPress in the future.
Yeah, and I might pass this back to Nick, but what do you think has contributed to this perception that people are still hanging on to, that the customizer is just a place to shove all WP admin stuff into? That seems to be perception that people have stuck with, even though it's sort of evolved beyond that.
I think people are viewing the customizer still as a good way to manage things like color changes and, you know, header image, background, a lot of the functionality that it originally shipped with. And a lot of that is stuff that building sites for clients don't see as valuable, because those types of things are, you know, that's functionality that they would probably set up and then hope that their users wouldn't actually be changing those things. And so they don't really see the point of it even in the first place, because, well, you know, if these things aren't things that I want them to be changing, why should they have access to change them? Well, first of all, if you are in that situation, the customizer has a very detailed set of capabilities. And so on a per option basis, you can give different user roles the capabilities based on the exact things you want your users to actually be able to change. So if you're building a custom theme, you don't need to give them the color options. But to think that, you know, they won't ever need to change their menu is maybe not, you know, accurate. So really enabling businesses to manage their own content. And that's where I think a lot of the work Weston's doing, you know, with customized posts, bigger clients, they want to be able to see it, their users too, even though people are building sites for them.
So. I'm just curious, between the two of you, I'll take this survey. Have either of you had much experience in dealing with kind of competitor space sites like Wix or Squarespace? Have you had any involvement in the editor or the, you know, the customizer, so to speak, that they use?
I have not. I've seen some screenshots, but my impression is that they provide customizer as their admin interface. And so it's kind of, users expect that as their interface for managing their site, a visual style editor to build out and make changes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's your impression of that?
Yeah, so I've actually had to manage a few sites or make, you know, tweaks to sites on Weebly especially. And so, you know, I've gotten to actually use it and interact with it. And really, you know, it's live preview, drag and drop, sort of the content blocks UI that's been discussed for WordPress before, where, you know, everything on the page is a block, you drag it around, you can manage text. And it's an interesting experience. The live preview aspect of it is great, but it really starts to have its shortcomings in the way the entire system relies on that. And that's why, really, for all of my sites and where I can for these sites that I'm managing, I'm encouraging them to move over to WordPress, because it might be a little bit more difficult to set up and get looking exactly how you want it first, especially like doing multiple columns, for example, is really a place where those types of site builders excel. But, you know, in the long run, actually having your content and being able to change things, it becomes really frustrating to deal with those interfaces where everything is sort of blocky and it's all separate. And so you have to sort of click into this to do this. And it's kind of a fragmented experience once you actually get in to use it. So I think there are a lot of ideas there that WordPress is building on, especially around live preview. But I also think that WordPress is already stronger in a lot of the ways that it manages content. And so I would definitely want to see those parts that are better continue to be better even as they change to incorporate Live Preview moving forward.
And I agree with that. And I've been challenged with many a project from clients in extracting and migrating into WordPress from those different platforms. But I will say, I was shocked recently going to Squarespace and Wix and some of those other ones as to how far they've come. And for anybody who is stuck in the WordPress bubble, I encourage you to at least look at it. Look, maybe even look at tutorial videos or something like that on YouTube for these different services and get an idea as to if you're a designer or a developer or you put WordPress sites together for clients, that's your competition right there. And it's easy to say, hey, WordPress is the greatest thing in the world. But in terms of ease of setup, sometimes I think some of those platforms have an advantage. Now, in the long run, obviously, no. Those aren't things that have portability of your posts and your data and your themes and, you know, some of the other functionalities. But I encourage people to kind of step out of that bubble and take a step back and see what else is out there. Because if we're talking 27%, well, that's, you know, that's a huge chunk that's still not in WordPress. So it's interesting. I just wanted to get your guys' perspective on some of those other platforms and how they compare in terms of the customizer.
Yeah. And I think, for me as a user, I think it's, you know, it's interesting just how much market share WordPress has because of that, people who are interested in making it better and starting to look at what other people are doing. But I actually kind of hesitate to even use the word competitor because I don't completely see it as an independent thing. Now, when it's a proprietary system, I see that sort of as in competition with the concept of open source, but I think there are a lot of ideas.
In terms of a web designer, if a web designer is pitching a particular client and that client has their eye on Squarespace,
right?
I would say that's competition.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, if you have people who specialize in WordPress and clients who want to use something else, it can be harder for them. So, you know, it's interesting to see that, but there's a lot to be learned from what they're doing and a lot to be learned, I think, on their end from what WordPress is doing in terms of ultimately coming up with, you know, what is the best way to manage content online.
Right.
So, I mean, there's been some discussion as to, you know, where is the line drawn between things that the customizer does and things that should be left to, I don't know, themes or page builders. And there's been some request for the customizer to maybe eventually turn into a page builder. Is that on the roadmap or, you know, what's on the roadmap in general that's directed towards Weston?
Yeah, I mean, there are many themes that provide page builder experiences built on widgets in the customizer. I think it's the Layers plugin and others that provide for that content block experience, but leveraging widgets as the foundation for that. And that content block building experience, I think we're going to see a lot of work going into this new year, being able to manage these content blocks in a content of posts and pages, also in the traditional widget areas. And I think we'll be able to have much less separation between, you know, what's a widget area, what's a nav menu, what's short codes in your post content. I think all these are going to be abstracted away into content blocks for users, and they're not going to have to know, you know, oh, I got to go to widgets to modify this, or I got to go to menus to modify that.
Oh, that sounds like an interesting future I want to be a part of. I want to see what this looks like in WordPress at some point. So we'll, I mean, now I know you probably don't want to comment on, you know, how other themes do things, but we've seen evidence not actually evidence, but some theme authors have published their merging or maybe migrating their options. We used to have these custom options panels, but now they've moved everything directly into the customizer. And we've run into themes now. They have two panels side by side, and they're using these controls and sections. And it's even with all those things, it's gotten a little crazy. But at least we've seen that you can do it. Even themes with a lot of options can migrate them all into the customizer, and it seems to be organized a bit better. But I know a lot of people would like to see or have the ability to move the customizer around so it's not just stuck on the pane, especially, I think, on widescreen monitors. A lot of people have been wanting this. I don't know. Any thought, any work on that direction in terms of being able to modify the customizer pane?
Yes, is the short answer. the longer answer is really, what's the question? Well, we can make it so that the customizer is wider. You can make it so that users can adjust how wide it is. But what do all of the controls within that, what's essentially the sidebar, what are they doing when it gets wider? Right now, nothing really. You know, so at most, based on the way it currently works, I would love to see the customizer pane, which is sort of that sidebar, be proportionally sized based on the size of your screen. So if you're on a big desktop, it doesn't need to still be this tiny little 300 pixel strip. It can be much wider. And it does get wider on phones, actually. It will fit the full width up to 600 pixels wide. But longer term, once things within that UI become more adaptable and responsive, it could make a lot of sense to have more of a split screen type experience. And I know Weston's done some more implementation side work on that too.
Yeah, I think that with the integration of Live Preview into more areas of WordPress, specifically on the front end, I think that we'll be seeing in this new year, and there's also a feature plugin actually for this called a Customized Inline Editing that allows you to just click on the title of your site or the description of your site, and you can just type in place in the preview. And in the same way for controls, now with selective refresh as part of core, we have the ability to basically add controls into the preview itself as like floating panels that can be of any size as desired based on the needs of what's inside of a control. And so there's a lot more flexibility in terms of how a control needs to be laid out. And even if it's much wider than 250 pixels or 300 pixels, however wide the controls pane is.
So one of the cool features in 4.7, and I know we could probably talk about the customizer all day, but I know we have to wrap it up here. But one of the cool features that I like in WordPress 4.7 is the visual edit shortcuts that were added while you have the customizer pane or customize mode open. And what this does is when you have it open for themes that support it in 2017 supports it out of the box. I know our theme that we use supports it. As you see this blue icon next to an area that can be edited, so next to the site title or the tagline, and when you click on the button, it automatically loads the customizer panel and controls so that you can edit that area of the site right there. And I think this is a very important, it's a small change, but I think it's important because it bridges the gap between, it allows users not having to search through the customizer to find the right controls to edit a portion of the site. Instead, it takes you right there. And maybe Weston or Nick, as an end user, give us some insight or background into implementing this feature.
Yeah, so I think what's really cool about this feature is you'll actually see it works on quite a lot of themes already without themes having to do anything. And that's because it's based on functionality that was actually added in 4.5, and that's selective refresh. And so it takes what was an existing functionality, the shift click to edit, which was really hidden but was there and did the same thing. And it makes that, it exposes that in a much more user visible way, where now you can really start to associate parts of the front end of the site with what controls you can use to manage those. And so that's sort of the first step to then actually being able to click and then it's inline edited, or you're not even having certain controls within the customizer. and also having less of an emphasis on actually finding where different controls are organized in the customizer UI.
And Weston, your thoughts on adding the feature? Because I think it originally was a feature on WordPress.com, and then you were looking into ways. I know there's a shortcut for editing widgets, but I actually wrote about this on the Tavern. But give us some background on the technical implementation of having these icons, these visual shortcuts in 4.7.
Yeah, the Automatic has a direct customized direct manipulation plugin that first prototyped these features, and which were first before that implemented on WordPress.com. And we had a lot of back and forth in terms of the design and the behavior, and I'm still not totally keen on the edit shortcut icons being always visible in the preview. I think it can, especially if you have more functionality that you can modify in the customizer, those blue, like if you have customized posts active, you see those blue icons everywhere.
Yeah.
And so you can hide those by just collapsing the customizer pane. There's a little button in the bottom left corner of the customizer to collapse the controls, which not a lot of people realize is there. But still, I think initially when this was first merged, we had the ability to toggle the edit shortcuts on or off, which I thought was nice, but ultimately it was deemed that it wasn't discoverable enough. And but the edit shortcuts really, they were one of the main reasons why they were initially introduced was because of mobile. And on mobile, or on touch, there's no shift-click ability. You know, there's no mouse. And there's no hover. And so that is one of the main reasons why this is so important is, you know, as mobile use is exploding, if you open the customizer now in mobile, you go to preview, you can see, even though there's no controls being displayed, you can see all the different elements that are editable right there in the preview. And if you just touch like the icon that's next to the site title, then it'll close the preview and open the controls instantly and focus on the field that manages the title. And then you can toggle back and forth very quickly now in mobile.
There you go. Any additional thoughts, Nick?
Yeah, I fully agree that having the icons on all the time is a big problem, especially with the goal of actually being able to preview your site exactly how it's going to look. And in a lot of cases, we had to make compromises about, you know, sometimes the icons are going to have to show up on top of text so that they are actually visible on the page, depending on the theme. So there are a few, you know, little challenges around that. But I think overall, the way it's working out is really good. And the other thing that I really like about it is because it's using selective refresh. When themes that haven't added support for that yet go to add support for the edit icons, which are a much more immediately visible feature, they'll also be adding support for selective refresh, which will make that actual process of live previewing much better for users. So there's a lot to like about the feature. And, you know, we worked through some discussions there as we got it implemented, but I'm pretty happy with what we've ended up with releasing with for now.
So we've covered a lot of ground here with the customizer. I wanted to bring you guys on so we could talk about the perception issue, what the customizer is, what the customizer's future is related to WordPress, and what the customizer is not. And I think we did a pretty good job here with the show, and we're just scratching the surface here. So I'm going to have you two back on soon to talk about some of the other customizer stuff. But I'm going to give both Nick and Western the last word. But first, give us some insight into things you're working on or would like to see on the immediate roadmap for the customizer in 2017. And maybe give us some info on how people interested in this, on this part of WordPress can get involved and help things along.
Yeah, I think content blocks, again, are really high on the wish list for everyone. And so I'm looking forward to iterating on widgets and making them a solid foundation to be used to implement content blocks and also menus and integrating those into the customizer in a way that they can be live previewed, not only with selective refresh, but also even faster, especially for themes that are implemented purely with JavaScript, like React, and opportunities to have a really great user experience for managing a site and even doing site builds using a content blocks powered by widgets in the customizer or content blocks in the customizer.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, you know, we're largely on the same page in terms of where we want to see it going. And so I actually think especially menus have a lot of potential as we look at content within the customizer, having something content block-like and making sort of more of a menus-centric approach to managing your content. And there have been a few ideas proposed about that. But the other thing is themes and plugins can start implementing a lot of these things now. Presentation around doing that. It's pending on WordPress.org, but I recently released a child theme for 2017 that takes its front page sections functionality and extends that to support any type of content. So any posts or pages, any post types, custom post types, custom taxonomies. Basically, you can put any sort of content that you have on your site in any order, drag and drop it around, and start to sort of look at what content blocks might look like if it were managed that way. So there are things like that that I'd love to see more experimentation in themes and plugins, as well as feature plugins and looking at things for core. There's a ton of potential, and the API behind all of it is really, it's object oriented and very extensible. And as someone who's not really a developer and has learned, I've learned pretty much everything I know about development by contributing to the customizer and core. So I can definitely say it is kind of complicated, but once you get into it, you can really learn it pretty quickly. And I think it's easy to extend, and it's also easier than you think to get involved and contribute to core.
Awesome. Also, as a way to start contributing, a great way is to look at the feature plugins that are under development, like customized posts, and a lot of the more cutting edge, advanced implementations of things in the customizer can be seen in these feature plugins that aren't yet in core, but they are being prototyped and iterated on in open, and anyone can see how they're being implemented and also contribute to them, and to learn how to build things in the customizer.
No, these feature plugins with the customizer, it's like Santa's workshop, and you're creating all these new gadgets and toys that eventually may or may not make it into core. You know, you're always experimenting, which is cool. And you know, that's one of the big takeaways I have of the customizer, is that right now we're in this area where it's all still very experimental, where you know the things that could be built and in the interfaces, you know, the customizer and the interface we have today, probably, I don't know, likely may not be the customizer interface we're using 2 years from now based on how things evolve. Is that accurate, or am I?
Yeah, I think that with what Matt said at the State of the Word, now with customizer being one of the three focuses and also having a designated design lead, we're going to be able to have a lot more movement on improvements to user-facing features in the customizer, which we didn't before because, I mean, we're mostly developers, not UX specialists. And so in order to make those changes to core, it really needs someone who knows what users need in terms of how they interact with the WordPress site. So I think a lot of improvements this year in terms of how the customizer looks and feels.
And on that note, with contributors, we need a lot of people who are just users. If you have a design background, we need designers. But you know, even just people testing a lot of the feature plugins, people testing new core features with the beta tester plugin even, and giving us feedback. And then if developers are interested in helping, of course, we need help there too, and designers. But really anyone can contribute to this. And the more people contribute and the more perspectives that we can consider when we're building new features, I think the better the end product will end up being.
I agree. So I want to thank you both very much, Nick Halsey and Weston Reuter, for taking some time out of your very busy lives and schedule to come on the show and give our listeners some valuable insight into the customizer, as it's a very important part of WordPress's future. I think we hammered that point home today. And I really like that saying you guys came up with, where you're trying to avoid the save and surprise aspect of web development. And the customizer certainly does that, where it's save and publish, and you sort of know what you're gonna see after you hit publish, because hey, live preview, and that's the beauty of it. So with that, gentlemen, thank you very much again for being on the show. Unless Marcus, you have any final wrap up questions?
Well, I'm very thrilled to know that now that there's somewhat of a versioning in terms of the customizer. That's something that, you know, I've talked about on this show for a long time. And I look forward to seeing the snapshot plugin and some of the other things that it can do, and the evolution of actually being able to save and transport and use these settings with a degree of portability. I think that's going to help save designers and developers a lot of time, because they can sort of set up a menu ahead of time, set up some widgets ahead of time, and save those within the customizer, and then import those into a brand new install and have everything nearly ready to go. That's in some aspects a lot more important even than migrating a specific theme over. So I'm happy to see that that's on track. And guys, I thank you very much for participating in the show. I learned a hell of a lot about the customizer today.
Thank you.
Yep. So all the best to you guys. And Marcus, let's just dive right into the plugin picks of the week and wrap this thing up.
All right, my friend, I've got three good ones. And the first one is called Product Designer. Now, this is pretty cool. If you are have seen sites where they let you upload your logo to a t-shirt or design your own business cards or things like that, this is a drag and drop product designer that works with WooCommerce. And it allows you to design a product and have your customer order it on the website via short code anywhere in the page. You can also add unlimited clip art to it, and it has a custom post and displays this designer that lets you easily add text to a product, logos, anything like that. So people can create their own custom stuff like jerseys or whatever you want to do. If it's custom, you can do it with Product Designer. Free plugin, right? The repository. The next one is called Text to Speech Widget. And what it does is it converts any text into speech into a selected language and voice. And it's got 63 different voices in a lot of different languages. And it's really easy to install. It's a WordPress widget, and you can put anything you want in the side as far as the text to speech, and it can read it out loud for you. So it's very cool, and it has some accessibility features to it, so that people that are perhaps maybe a little sight impaired can actually click this and find a synopsis of what the content is about. That's a really good thing. It's called Text to Speech Widget. And finally, this is a WooCommerce plugin. It's called Featured Products First for WooCommerce. And what it does is it lets all of your featured products get listed first in your shop page or category page or anything like that. And the nice thing is it also has a sidebar widget that shows your featured products too. So if you're on an individual page for one particular product, it shows the featured products on that sidebar. So check that one out. If you're into WooCommerce and got a lot of products, Featured Products First for WooCommerce. And those are my plugin picks of the week.
Awesome. So let's see. Next week on December 14th, we're going to have on Tony Perez of Sucuri to talk about the state of security in general and WordPress security. So that'll be a great show. We haven't had a security focused show here in a little while. And what better person to have on than Tony?
Yeah.
Of Sucuri. It's a great company. And then after that, of course, it's my birthday show where we'll talk about the news of the week, but we'll also, that'll be the part one of our 2016 news recap, which we do. And then, of course, the following week will be part two, and then we'll be into 2017. So that's what the rest of the year looks like for WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WP Tavern. jeffrothezero.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffrZero. And Marcus?
Well, first, before I say that, I wanted to tell everybody to go get their tickets to Affiliate Summit West in Las Vegas.
It's right around the corner.
January 15th through 17th. I'm going to be there. Bob Dunn's going to be there. Saeed Balki's going to be there speaking as well as me. And it's going to be great. So if you want to see how really cool conferences run, I would suggest hurrying up and getting tickets because that thing sells out super duper fast. Second, Jeff, where's my box of Cleveland stuff? Come on, you're not going to launch on this bet.
No. Trust me. I have not forgotten about it.
Even LeBron James has come through with his bet.
Well, it's marching. A little bit of – all right, just hold on there, Charlie. It's a little bit of a money issue. I'll take care
of it. Okay.
And I said that on the show, so it's documented.
Put it on Matt's credit card because we did talk about it on the show. So it technically is a work expense.
Well, I don't have his credit card. I wish I did.
Oh, that's a bummer. And you can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, which is now happily moved over from my previous bad security host to a great one. And you can follow me on Twitter at @MarcusCouch.
Awesome. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. So long.